the time out of your very busy schedules today. Please bear with me. We're letting folks onto the call. We have a number of participants on today's call. There's been a lot of interest in joining. So in just a minute here, we're going to start the presentation. Fresenius Pharmaceuticals trades under the ticker symbol CTXR on the NASDAQ. And with us today, we have the very well-known Leonard Mazur, who's going to be giving the presentation. Leonard has been traveling around. He's in a position right now where he's unable to be on camera, but he was still able to carve out the time to join us. And he will be going over some high-level points for the company, okay? We're not going to do a presentation deck today for anyone who's participating, as most folks on the call are very well aware of the story. We can circulate a deck for anyone that doesn't have that, but we want to focus on high-level points, and then we're going to move to a Q&A portion. You can always ask questions throughout the course of the presentation in the chat feature, okay? We'll get those questions addressed, and we'll focus the majority of our time on the Q&A. So I know that we just had a number of new folks that join. Appreciate everyone for taking time out of your very busy day. With us today, we have Fresenius Pharmaceuticals, CTXR, and Leonard Mazur is with us, not on camera, but he's with us here and presenting the story. With that being said, I am going to pass the microphone on over to Leonard so that he can get started. But I do want to let everyone know that's on today's call that we do have a hard stop at 5 p.m. It's going to be somewhat of a quick call. And as a reminder, you can ask questions throughout in the chat feature. Okay. With that introduction, Leonard, the floor is all yours, and appreciate you for taking time out of your travels and busy schedule.
All right, Todd, thank you very much. Appreciate also back to you for organizing this. And also at the same time, I want to thank everybody for taking the time out to be with us on this call. So warning here in terms of I'm going to make forward-looking statements during this call. So all of you are familiar with disclosure that we have in our decks, which is our deck, by the way, is available on our website, CTXR, CTXR.com. So we invite everybody to download it. And at the same time, again, pay attention to the forward-looking statements disclosure that we have. So I just want to bring what we're doing here is we're going to bring everybody up to date in terms of where we are in terms of our various objectives. So we're kicking off 24, we think, to a good start here. This is our year. First of all, the LYMPHIR resubmission, which all of you are probably familiar with, but just to remind you, the FDA asked us to complete a validation test. The test itself passed, and that process is underway. We will be resubmitting to the agency that resubmission package. We've indicated somewhere within this quarter, it'll probably, in all likelihood, will be somewhere towards either the end of this month or the beginning of February. So with that, what will happen is that once that goes in, and I should remind everybody again, the resubmission only covers what the Food and Drug Administration addressed in their original complete response letter to us this past July. And so all the clinical data, all the manufacturing data, all that has been accepted at this point. So the agency will come back to us and tell us whether or not they'll give us a new PDUFA date, whether or not we have 2 months, 6 months, we'll see. But at this point in time, we anticipate that it'll probably be 6 months. We're planning to launch LYMPHIR in the fall. So we've initiated all our marketing plans and everything. We're working with a company called Eversana to bring everything together here. So Eversana will be working with us in terms of Salesforce deployment, and also we'll contract with them for our 3PL, which would be our warehousing and shipping, billing, and invoicing. So all those details are have been worked out and are being worked out with our with we have a small marketing team in place now, with a vice president of marketing, Mike McGuire, a director of marketing out of Regeneron, and that team has put together the marketing plans, and we've identified now where all the writers are in this category. So the reason we're able to do that is because the competition that's there, which is Seagen's, et cetera, is primarily in Kyoto Kirin's Portolego. They've been on the market for a couple of years now, and as a result, we're able to really do a deep dive. We know where all the writers are around the country. We've identified already, mapped out all the territories, and all that, the pricing, everything is in place, ready to go. So we are looking forward to the launch of Lymphir, and based on the market reach, some market research data, we know that the oncology community, along with the patients, are also awaiting the approval. So at the same time, concurrently with that, I get a lot of questions about the spin out. So as was announced previously, the a SPAC, specified purpose acquisition company called 10X, is will acquire the sub. They will issue us shares. They put a valuation on that subsidiary, $675 million. All the documentation for this to occur has been filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The goal is to move this along so that the entity, which will be called Citius Oncology Inc., will start trading on the as a NASDAQ listed company. One of the reasons that we're doing this way is because we get a NASDAQ listing immediately. But most importantly, the reason for creating a sub and doing this transaction is we're doing everything we can to minimize or eliminate any further dilution of Citius Pharmaceutical stock. That remains one of our objectives. At the same time, we'll use the subsidiary, Citius Oncology Inc., to raise all the necessary funds to properly launch Lymphir. That we anticipate that trading will start somewhere where it just depends upon the Securities and Exchange Commission and how long the entire process goes with the voting of the shares and everything by the 10X shareholders, but somewhere probably in around April or thereabouts. We don't have an exact date because we can't anticipate what or forecast the amount of time that the Securities and Exchange Commission will take in terms of reviewing all the documents, coming back to us with comments, and then going back with documents. So the plan is that ultimately, the plan is that ultimately we will begin to distribute dividend these shares in a subsidiary to the Citius shareholders. And we'll have further announcements on that, but that'll be further down the road. And the reason for that is because what we don't want to do is suddenly distribute shares and then the shareholders, basically because there's a dividend, it's free, could cause a disruption in the market. So for that, for Citius Oncology Inc. stock. So Citius Oncology will be a cancer-focused company. The way the company will be managed initially will be through a management services agreement between the parent company and a sub. Details on that will be forthcoming as well. So we're looking forward to this, and we believe that once we have that marketing team and sales and marketing team in place, we'll have an outstanding group of individuals ready to launch the drug. And the ultimately what will occur is that as the revenue comes in and as that as the Citius Oncology Inc. becomes more mature and we get good sales revenue in there, we'll start to replace the people that are in there on a shared services basis to full-time individuals, but we're going to wait until there's significant sales volume in that unit. So that would be that's Lymphir. In terms of Menelik, all of you probably saw the news. I'm anticipating that you did see the news on the fact that that Menelik, at this point, we had a last patient in. We announced that 2 weeks ago. We're now going through the whole procedure of assembling top line data. The top line data will be out somewhere in the second quarter. We've got teams of people already on that. That takes some time. It's not an overnight task in terms of being able to assemble all that. It does take several months. But once that's completed, then we'll have a top line data readout. We'll then go to the FDA afterwards with that data. In terms of Halo Lido, we have a request in with the Food and Drug Administration for a meeting to present our data from the phase 2B trial. That phase 2B trial basically indicated that we have a product here, but it just, everything depends upon what that phase 3 protocol looks like, the number of patients, et cetera, as to our next step. We will not know what that is until we've sat down with the agency. Our objective here is to monetize this asset for the shareholders of the company. We do not intend to market this drug whatsoever. This market segment is potentially a large segment, and it's really for a primary care company that's with a significant direct-to-consumer advertising budget to be able to promote this drug properly. Once this drug is approved, it will be the only prescription drug on the market that's been approved by the FDA. As some of you, all of you know, the hemorrhoid market is in the United States here is one that does not have a prescription FDA prescription drug that's approved. We have the over-the-counter market like Preparation H and those products, but those are over-the-counter. So anybody coming in here being the first company and only company with an approved product, it should perform in a very significant fashion. So those are profile in terms of our three primary assets. We think 2024 is really our year, as we've got a significant runway here with significant milestones in front of us that the shareholders and the company should benefit from. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Todd for questions, and we'll go through the Q&A here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Leonard, thank you for those updates. And, you know, obviously a lot of moving parts and things going on. You know, what I'd like to address right off of the bat is probably a lot of, you know, some of the questions that are coming in that has to do with you know, targets of getting to the point of either acquisitions or commercializations. You know, the fact that you are complete and closing down, you know, with the last Menelik and kind of getting close with some of these other entities. What does that mean as it relates to your financial stability, your runway, you know, your cash, or being able, you know, to get to the point where, you know, you're at where you need to be, you know, for exit strategies and commercialization and revenue recognition?
Sure. That's a pretty far reaching question with probably several different answers to it. So let's just talk a little bit about the financial stability of the company and so forth. And that is that we've indicated that we have sufficient cash for Citius Pharmaceuticals to go through to the end of August. Now, we will have opportunities probably for non-dilutive cash. What we're and that would come from potential international partners that are looking to out-license or looking for licenses for Lymphir and for Menelik in the international markets. So as those two drugs get closer to an approval, especially with Lymphir, we'll have an opportunity to do that. It's very premature for me to comment on the status of those or anything like that. But I think that is one of our objectives, is to see if we can secure partnerships outside the U.S. They would come with that would come with milestone payments and as a form of non-dilutive funds available for the company. And I think that suffice it to say that those type of conversations are ongoing. So, secondly, in terms of acquisitions, so that again is something that's be very premature for me to comment on that. Nobody ever comments on acquisitions until they're done, so and complete. So we basically, I have nothing to say about that except, as I've indicated before, if you're curious about that, all of you know my background. So and that's about all I can say about that. So, but I would like to say that, you know, I just came back from the J.P. Morgan meeting, and a J.P. Morgan meeting, one of the highlights of it is the fact that there were a flurry of transactions announced by big pharma taking over small biotech, small pharma. All right. So small companies, smaller companies like we are, we're a little bit different in the sense that we're both a biotech company and a pharma company. So we have Lymphir, it's a biotech drug, and we have Mino-Lok, which is a small molecule along with Halo-Lido, small molecule as well. I think everybody recognizes that smaller companies are really fodder for the large companies. The large companies really look upon the small companies like ours as a pathway for bringing in new drugs that are largely de-risked. For the most part, pharma likes to do de-risk deals once the drug is approved. So, and I think that profile is well known to many people. I don't have to get into the particulars of that whatsoever. So, but also, I would like to add that once Lymphir is launched, we believe that in the first 12 months of revenue, we will be profitable with Lymphir.
Wonderful, wonderful. And on that note, you know, regarding some of these conversations and de-risking assets, if we can, you know, get any kind of, you know, thoughts. I know that as a public, you know, company, there are things that cannot be discussed without disclosure. But is there anything that you can, you know, allude to us about your intent for monetization as it relates to Halo-Lido after some of these meetings or based on some of these conversations that you're having? Would it be, you know, after a meeting with the FDA, or would it be, you know, to the point where you would look to do something there after phase three data?
As I said, our objective is to secure a partnership for that drug. And that depends upon how it goes with the FDA and what gets worked out as a protocol for a phase three trial. If that protocol is of one that is relatively economical for us, we may decide to just go ahead and then do the phase three trial ourselves, because the more data you have, the greater the value of your drug. So obviously, a phase three completed drug would be of more greater value than a phase 2b trial. So drug. So I think at this point, that's pretty much where it stands. We won't know exactly until we have that meeting with the FDA.
Okay, I understand. We had a few additional questions that have come in that have to do with the spinoff for the new co. And is there anything additional that you can share with us about, you know, how and when that may take place? And, you know, is there any idea that you can give about what kind of distribution, you know, of shares, you know, how that may work or unfold?
Well, I think usually when these things take place, these distributions, they usually take place when there's a maturity aspect to the trading of the stock. So I know some that usually there's a period of time, could be up to about a year post the initiation of the trading before there is any distribution. And a reason for that is just so that the stock itself doesn't get banged in the marketplace by shareholders who've received shares suddenly dumping, and there's no market for it, or the trading platform is not really well developed. So, and how that distribution would take place is going to be largely dependent upon how we read the market for it at that time. And a lot of times they can be phased in over time. So it's not 100%, but it could be something less than that. But again, that's still not totally determined until we see how everything gets accepted in the marketplace.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can tell us, Leonard, about, you know, kind of upcoming plans, you know, as it relates to meetings? You know, once again, I know that it's always tough to disclose, you know, anything that's going on privately without public disclosures, but plans, travel plans for additional conferences. Obviously, you guys were, you know, JP Morgan in San Francisco. Anything else that's on the docket, you know, that is something that you're anticipating or that is critical or that you're looking forward to?
I think at this moment we are trying to sign up for the a higher quality meeting if at all possible. But we recognize that when you're in a microcap world, then you've got to basically accept the world that you're in. So there's some meetings of that type, but we do everything we can possibly to expose the company to shareholders. And periodically, I do road shows, and I will be doing those again throughout the year. And I think I've met a good number of potential shareholders that way and shareholders. Those meetings have turned out to be extremely productive. We have great shareholders in the company. There's 60,000 individual shareholders at this point. We appreciate their loyalty. In reality, they've been patient and they've been loyal, and for that, we are extremely appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, Leonard, we are always appreciative to get updates from you. I know that, you know, you're incredibly active and diligent about keeping the street up to date and getting out there and meeting with investors. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we wrap stuff up about conversations about any type of patents that you're working on or that are occurring that you can talk to us about, or anything about, you know, maybe some of the, you know, the India sites that occurred for the Minolock testing, or anything else that you can share with us at this time?
Yeah, you know, I think what I'd like to bring up right now and highlight for everybody, but it's something that in connection with Lymphere, and that is that there are two investigator-initiated INDs that have been filed, one at the University of Pittsburgh, the other one at the University of Minnesota. So an investigator IND is something that the FDA set up a mechanism for investigators, researchers at institutions around the country that they can apply to the FDA to study and research unapproved indications and uses. So two of these got filed, as I said. The one at University of Pittsburgh is really interesting. That the investigator who is an OBGYN / oncologist is looking at the combination of Keytruda with our drug. And that one has real significance. And the reason being is because Lymphere has a very unique mechanism of action. And that mechanism of action is that it reduces significantly the amount of something known as Tregs in the microenvironment of a cancer cell. And where that has a bearing is with Keytruda. So Keytruda, if the number of Tregs present in that microenvironment of a cancer cell are very high or significantly high, it can reduce the overall effectiveness of it. So what this investigator is trying to prove is that the combination of the two is better than the Keytruda by itself. All right. So that's an investigator IND. He does dose range finding. I can't comment yet as to when that's going to be complete or anything like that. But you know, we're watching it, and we're hopeful that data will generate something that actually it could be confirmatory of the animal data that got generated on it. So back several months ago, there was a journal article that got published on the combination of Lymphir with something known as PD-1 inhibitors or checkpoint inhibitors, which is what Keytruda is. And it was an animal trial done in mice. And what that study proved conclusively is that the combination of Lymphir with a PD-1 inhibitor was better than the PD-1 inhibitor by itself. So this could be dramatic if it holds up. So we'll see. We don't know yet. Also, secondly, a little bit behind the University of Pittsburgh, University of Minnesota, that they're looking at the combination of Lymphir with CAR T, which is another group of agents that are being used in cancer treatments. So I think it's for us, it's significant because these institutions on their own went out and chose to file with the FDA to look at these combinations, and it tells you something about potentially what ultimately could be a significant potential for Lymphir in the marketplace.
Wonderful. Wow. Wow. We really appreciate that. You know, obviously so many different things going on right now. It's hard to juggle it all, but it's exciting to get an update from you. And we're getting really close to the end of the wire here. As I indicated on the beginning of the call, for many of those that had tuned in early, we have a very hard stop today for a variety of different reasons and for folks on this call. But Leonard, I sure hope that we'll have you back really soon. I know that there's a lot of interest in getting regular updates from you. But before I let you go, you know, I'll just let you leave us with, you know, some of the highlight points that you want us to take away from this call. And if there's anything else that you suggest that we kind of keep our eyes peeled for going forward, anything that you want to leave us with before we wrap stuff up. The floor is all yours. And like I said, we really appreciate your time and we hope that you'll be back again soon.
Okay. So yeah, let me just highlight something else here for everybody. And that is that I want all the shareholders to also appreciate the fact that we have a great management team in place. In fact, a very hardworking management team. They're dedicated, they're loyal, and they have total belief in the company and the progress of our programs. And this couldn't be done. All the things that we do couldn't be done without them. And so I think I'm very proud of the group that we have. And I'm also very confident in terms of what lies ahead. I think this really is our year. As I've told some folks in the past, 2023, we were on a defensive. 2024, we're on the offensive, clearly. So I'd like to leave it with that, that for all the shareholders.
Thank you again, Leonard. Really appreciate it. I know how unbelievably busy you are for carving out the time here today. And for all the individuals and investors that participated on today's call, we appreciate your interest and we appreciate you tuning in. And like I said, if there's any additional questions, feel free to shoot an email and we can always get decks circulated around. But we hope to have Leonard back soon and keep everyone updated. Until then, you know, let's make it a great year in 2024. And thank you, everyone, once again for participating.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great one, Leonard. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.